The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Samech Zayin, and we're at the Mishnah, three lines from the top of Daf Samech Zayin Amid Beis. From the beginning of the Perek until this Mishnah, we've been discussing HaMoicher HaSabayis, Stam, what's included and what's excluded from the sale. We now turn our attention to a Moicher HaSachotzer, but very similar halachas as we're going to see. A Moicher HaSachotzer, if somebody sells a chotzer, stam, without clarifying what's included and what's excluded from the chotzer, machar batim, any houses that are in the chotzer, assuming the Moicher owns those batim, is included in the sale. Additionally, Boir HaShich and Amaris are also going to be included in the sale. Avaloyes HaMetaltlin, but any Metaltlin in the Chatzar is not included. If he added language that says that I'm not only selling the Chatzar, but I'm selling it and anything that's inside of it, even the Metaltlin are included. Benkach hu benkach, regardless of whether he said hu v'chol mashu b'toichai or didn't say hu v'chol mashu b'toichai, loy machar, what's not included is loyas HaMerchitz, v'loyas Beis Habad shebetoichai. The reason is because the Merchitz and the Beis Abad, the olive press, were both considered things that are chashuv, independent of the chatzar itself, so they're never going to be included, agav, with the chatzar. Rabbi Eliezer says, HaMecher es ha-chatzar, lo machar ela aviru shal chatzar. So Rabbi Eliezer seems to hold Mecher ba'ayin ro Mecher. He believes that if somebody sells a chatzar, the only thing you're going to get, unless he clarified more, is the open space in the chatzar. So if you have a part of the chatzar where there's nothing there, there's no bias, there's no bur, shiachu ma'ara, there's nothing there at all, that's going to be included in chatzar. Whereas the chachamim disagreed, the chachamim held that although not everything is included, but certainly there were things, structures, inside the confines of the chatzer that would be included. Tan Rabbanon, HaMecher HaSachotzer, if somebody sells a chatzer, Machar Batim HaChitzoinim. The Batim HaChitzoinim, these were batim that were outside of the chatzer, but opened up into the chatzer. Even those batim are included. Ubatim HaPnimim, and the batim that were inside the chatzer are included. Ubeis HaChusayis, those were areas where there was sand from which they would make glass. Ayin Barashbam. Chanuyos Psuchos L'toicha Nimkar Esima. If there was a store that opened up into the chatzer, that's also included in the sale. V'she'im Psuchos L'toicha, if there was a store in the chatzer, but didn't open up to the chatzer, Einim Karasim is not included in the sale. What about Psuchas Lakan or Lakan? What if it opens to the chatzer and outside of the chatzer? It has the Maila and the Chesaron, then Karasim, it's going to be included. Rabbi Eliezer says, HaMecher HaSachotzer, if somebody sells a chatzer, Loi Machar Ela Milusa Shal Chatzer. This is the same Rabbi Eliezer as we had in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer's Lashon is Loi Machar Ela Adira Shal Chatzer. In the Brisa's Lashon is Loi Machar Ela Milusa Shal Chatzer. But it's the same thing. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't include the button, not the button, Achitzoinim, not the button, Hapnim. You don't include the Beis HaChusayis, you don't get Chanuyos, you don't get Boir HaShich and Ma'aris, you certainly don't get Metaltlin. All you get is the open space in the Chatzar. Beyond that, you get nothing. Amar Mar. So one of the things mentioned in the Braisa that weren't mentioned in the Mishnah was Psuchos L'Soicha included. Loip Psuchos L'Soicha not included. What about Psuchos L'Kan U'L'Kan? So the Braisa said, not so. If it's opened into the Chatzar and out of the Chatzar, it's not included. You have to look at Roiv. If Roiv of the people that use this Chanos are from the Chatzar, it's included in the Chatzar. If Roiv of the people that use this Chanos are not from the Chatzar, then it's not included in the Chatzar. So again, Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, stam, do you only get open space in the chatzer, or do you get more than that? Zokti Gemara, Amar Rav, Ida Amalei Dirsa. If the lashon that was used was not chatzer, but he said, "I'm going to sell you my dirsa," the kuli Amalei pligid about the mashma. Everybody would agree that included in the chatzer are the batim. Meaning, even Rabbi Eliezer would say, "You said dirsa, you didn't use the more conventional word chatzer. You're getting the chatzer plus you're getting any bias." If you use darta, marsova tarbitza mashma, umarsova pati mashma. Rabbi Eliezer holds darta's mashma only the chatzah, so all you're getting is the open space in the chatzah. Whereas the chachamim hold, no, it's mashma even the batim. Says the Gemara, ikda amri yomar rav ida amalei darta kuli amalei pligi debati mashma. There was another version, and that was that darta is like dirsa, and just like dirsa, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree is a lashon that includes even the batim. Darta is also such a lashon. When then did Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim argue the Amalei Chatzer, where you use the Pashat, the Prasta word Chatzer, Marsava Chatzer, Avira Mashma, Rabbi Eliezer holds chatzer's mashma only the open space, umar savar, with a little bit of a knetch, ki chatzer ha-mishkan. The Chachamim had a raya from the chatzer ha-mishkan, that when you say chatzer stam, you include even a built structure on the chatzer. Rashbam explains, because the chatzer ha-mishkan, the Torah gives its dimensions, and the dimensions given for the chatzer ha-mishkan include the oil moyed. It includes the Mishkan itself. So you see that the Mishkan itself is included in the definition of Chatzer. Thus, HaMoichas HaChatzer Stam, included in that is going to be the Mishkan itself. If somebody sells to his friend a Chulsis, so that's a sand farm, Umetzula. So Rashbam has two pshat in what Metzula is. One pshat, the Rashbam says, Karkis Hanor, Shemaitzim by Kesev Azov, where they used to mine gold and silver. V'yesh Mefarshim, they used to get fish. Regardless, if somebody sold a chulsis and a metzula, the koina, the lekeach, wants to be machzik in the chulsis and or metzula, kinyin chazoka, so he can get it. Nechassim, sheyesh lo machrayis niknis, bekesev shtar bechazok. Zok rova, hichzik bechulsis leikon a metzula. If you were machzik in the chulsis, you don't get the metzula. Hichzik be metzula leikon a chulsis. Meaning, if you want to get the chulsis and the metzula, you have to make a chazoka, no agadu uparetz on the chulsis, and then you have to make a chazoka, no agadu uparetz on the metzula. Freak, the Gemara, is that so? Eini vama, Shmuel said, mochli, as I saw this best of Medina, so somebody sells his friend 10 fields, even in 10 lands. If he's machzik in one, kana kula. So you see that one meicher, one lekeach, multiple properties. You don't have to make an independent chazaka on each property. But you could be machzik in one, you can get everything. So what's the difference between 10 lands and 10 medinos and chulsis and metzulas? The chiluk is awesome over there. The reason it works is the sadna da arachadu. Because we look at all the dry land on planet Earth as having it a hemshech. It's all one very large piece of property. But the punchline for this Gemara is, additionally, in that case of Shmuel, all the lands that were being sold were going to be used for the same purpose. They were all the same class of property. Being that they were all being used for the same purpose, you could say, sadna da'ara chadhu, and one chazak is going to work for everything. Avalach over here, chusas emetzula, hatashmishto l'chud, v'hatashmishto l'chud. One was used to make glass, the other was used to catch fish, or to mine gold and silver. Being that they were used for different purposes, Rashbam explains this based on a makor from a pasuk in somewhat detail, but over there you can't say sadna da'ara chadhu. Thus, although Shmuel did say that if somebody wants to buy 10 fields in 10 lands, hichzik ba'achas mehem kana kulon, that's there because all the sadeh serve the same purpose. But a chulsis and a metzula that serve different purposes, over here you're not going to have that luck. Ikad Ami, some had this exchange a little different. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, hichzik bechulsis, kona metzula. Fakerta Allah. If you're machzik in the chulsis, you do get the metzula. Freik the Gemara Pshita, Amar Shmua, Machalei Esa Sadeis. No, it's not Pashat. Because now the tema, I would have thought this svara, Hasim over there, who decided that Arachad, being that they use for different things, maybe you don't have the svara of Shmuel, Kamash Malan. So the two Gersayas says, and one Gersa, Rava Omer of Nachman Paskin, that Chosas Hametzul is not like Eser Sadeis for Eser Medinois. What's the Chilik, the Gemara svara? Over here, same tashmishta. Over there, hot tashmishta l'chud, hot tashmishta l'chud. In the other girsa in the Gemara, Rav Amrav Nachman Paskin, that chulsis ha-metzula is like eser sadas. The Gemara's kasha was pshita, so we had to come up with a svara to be mechalik as to why Rav Amrav Nachman would have had to set his halacha in light of the fact that we all know Shmuel's halacha. It's the same svara. The question is, at the end of the day, what's the halacha? Hichzik b'chulsis kana metzula or hichzik b'chulsis loy kana metzula? Those are the two lishaynas in the Gemara. Noch a Mishnah. So the next Mishnah goes from Hamoicher es Habayis, from Moicher es Achotzer, to Hamoicher es Beis Abad. So it's very technical, this next piece of Gemara. And really, in order to properly understand it, you have to be able to visualize what the Beis Abad, the olive press of old, looked like. So if you have an art scroll Gemara, 67B1, note 6, there's a diagram, there's a picture with a little bit of description. It's good to see it inside. So I'll just read note 6 and we'll go through the Gemara from there. There were several different types of olive presses. The basic structure of the type discussed in our Mishnah is as follows. A large tub or vat was fixed to the ground in which the olives to be pressed were placed. So it starts off very simple. There was a vat. The olives were placed inside the vat. At opposite sides of the vat stood two upright posts, which were also affixed to the ground. Each post had a hole near its top in which a cross piece that extended from one post to the other above the vat was inserted. So you really have three boards. Two are standing upward, and then there's a cross piece that goes across. There was a hole in the center of the cross piece, and a large wooden screw was threaded through the hole. The bottom of the screw was connected to a heavy beam, that's the koira of the Beis Chabad, which provided the necessary weight to crush the olives. By turning the screw, usually by means of a pole that was fastened to the top of the screw at a right angle, the beam was lowered onto the vat. Boards were placed on top of the olives, and when the beam pressed upon those boards, they in turn pressed the olives. Not so complicated. So the olives were on the floor of the vat. There were boards that were placed on top of the olives. And then there was going to be a beam that was going to be screwed down on top of the boards, which were on top of the olives. And that's ultimately the way the olives were going to be pressed. Zok de Mishnah. Moicher is Beis Chabad. If somebody sells the house, the Beis Chabad. So you didn't sell the olive press, you sold the house that houses the olive press. And again, he didn't have a good lawyer. He was very unspecific about what he was included in the sale. Zokt, the Mishnah, number one, Mocher es hayam, the yam is included. The Gemara is going to explain what this is. Ves hamamol, ves habesulois, avo, loy mocher es avirim, ves hagalgal, ves hakoir. If he says, I'm selling you the Beis Chabad and everything inside of it, then says, Hamoicher Beis Chabad, Mochar Es HaKoir. So whereas the Mishnah said, Avol, Loi Mochar Es HaAvirim, Ve'es HaGalgal, Ve'es HaKoir. Over here, Rabbi Eliezer seems to hold Moicher Bayin Yofa Moicher, which is in contrast to what his opinion's been previously, Hamoicher Beis Chabad, Mochar Es HaKoir. Zokta Gemara, Yam. What is the Yam? Klofcha, the vat. So that's the vat where the olives were pressed. That's included when you're Moicher Beis Chabad. Mamol is the crusher, reading from the art scroll. Omar Rab Abba Bar Mamo Mafrachta. So that's the mortar in which the olives are pounded before being pressed. So this was actually not part of that diagram that we just discussed. But before the olives were put into the olive press, there were two things that were done to it. Number one, there was a mortar that was used to crush them. After that, they would be toichet. They would grind the olives. And then when you had these ground up olives, they would put into the olive press to give it the finishing touch. So that mortar that was used at phase one of creating oil, that's what this mamal is. So that too is included. You get the vat where the olives were pressed when you're actually pressing the olives in its final stage. That's hamamu, you get that crusher, you get that mortar. Besulois, the besulois were included. What's that? Those are those two boards that are standing on the side that are going to hold the support for the cross piece through which the koira is going to go to actually press the olives. Avirim, which were not included. Avoloi machara, so avirim vesagalgo vesakoira. What are avirim? Kafshe. These are the planks of wood that are placed in the vat on top of the olives. So we said the koira didn't make direct contact with the olives, but there were planks of wood that were put on top of the olives. The koira would put its weight on top of those planks. The koira, the avirim are those planks of wood. Galgal, chumrasa, that's the screw. Koira, that's the actual beam that was used to do the crushing. Tanu rabbon, on amichar beis habad, somebody sells a bad, mochar asa nesorim, the nesorim are included. The esa yukovim, the vet. The esa mafrecha is the mortars. The esa richayim hatachtoinois avaloi el yoina. The richayim, the mill was used for that second stage, the phase two, when they would grind up the olives that were crushed by the mortar that hadn't been pressed yet. If he says, I'm selling you it and everything that's inside of it, he didn't sell those boards that we just mentioned a moment ago. And these were sacks that were used to carry the olives within the Beis Chabad from point A to point B. Rabbi Eliezer says, Amlecher Beis Chabad, Mocher Es HaKoira. He disagrees with the Chachamim. The Chachamim said the Koira, the beam itself, wasn't included. I disagree, says Rabbi Eliezer. The beam is included. Shaloi nikra beis habad el al shum kur. The ikra, the beis habad, is the kur. That's what presses the olives. So it's poshet that will be included. And hadron aloch, daf samach zayin. So just a little bit more from Yana the Yom. One of the big mysteries of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim is how the Yidden, who had been slaves for so many years in Mitzrayim, leave Mitzrayim, and any time they faced even a little bit of adversity, they were prepared, ready to go back. And you find it throughout the storyline. Keseder, any little piece of adversity, the Yidden are like, what in the world did we need this for? They start coming with tlunos that misoinin to Moshe. For this, we could have stayed in Mitzrayim. Let's just go back. And the truth, you see it right in the beginning. Literally, chapter 1, verse 1. Vayhi b'shalach par esom. The Yidden are leaving Mitzrayim. V'loi nochem elikim derech eretz plishin ki karefu. Ki yom elikim. Because Hashem already anticipated. He was concerned. Pein yinochem elam b'roisim b'chama. What's going to happen if they meet a little bit of adversity? A fight's going to break out. They're going to have to go through something. V'shavu Mitzrayim. They're going to want to turn back. And the truth is, kachava. The pasuk says, v'upari hikri v'yisu b'nei sol senei v'hini Mitzrayim. The Yidden are going through the midbar. Paro is following after them. They were very afraid. And they cried out to Hashem. And they said, what? Were there a shortage? There's no cemeteries in Mitzrayim? That lekachtonu lamas b'midbar, you had to take us to die in the midbar. Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? Isn't this what we told you in Mitzrayim? Chadal mimenu v'navdas Mitzrayim ki toiv lanu avodas Mitzrayim. And we'll say in the midbar, we'd much rather be in Mitzrayim. And the emes is, if you think about it, it's a pella, because the Yidden were Mitzrayim. It was avodas parach v'yomaru es chayeim. And here they have an opportunity. They have a get out free ticket, and they don't want to use it. At any time, a little bit of adversity, they're ready to run back to their prison. It's definitely something that's sort of beer, the kamikumus in the shtabru, to explain a little bit what's going on. And I recently saw what I believe is a dover chadash tucked away in the Sefer Teiras Chaim and Masechta Schulin, that Tzadik Olaf from the base. It's in the middle of a very, very long piece. He says it in a fleeting way, but I think that there's a magnisa tov. Just a little bit of a hakdom. The Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis, discusses one of the most famous nevuahs that the Navi Yecheskel said. And that's the nevuah of the Atzamas Yevashis. Basically, Yecheskel sees Atzamas Yevashis in the Midbar. He's a dried out, Uskitrikin Atzamas. They're corpses of people that had once been alive. And he's Mechayim Mesim. And the Gemara over there is discussing who exactly were these Mesim, these Atzamas, that Yecheskel was Mechaya. Who exactly were there? Zokti Gemara, one man, Omar, says that the Mesim, that Yecheskel were Mechaya, Omar Rav, Elu B'nai Ephraim. These were the descendants of Ephraim. Shemonu L'Keitz V'Tov. They counted. They made a cheshbon of when exactly Yidden was supposed to leave Mitzrayim, and they made a toys. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Upnei Ephraim, Shuselach Uberet Benoi, Vesachas Benoi, Veloda Benoi," etc., etc. Regardless, says Rav, you want to know who? You want to know who the Mesim Shehechia Yecheskel were? These were the Bnei Ephraim. So who exactly were the Bnei Ephraim? It's mentioned in Divrei Hayomim, Perek Zayin Pasuk Chaf. Ubnei Ephraim Shusolach Uberet Benoi Vesachas Benoi Veeloda Benoi Vesachas Benoi. Pasuk continues. V'zovot benoi, v'shuselach benoi, v'ezer ve'olod. You have his whole family tree over here. V'harogum anshei hagas. But Ephraim's children were killed by the anshei hagas. Hanoilodim ba'aretz, who were born in the land. Ki yardu lokachas es mikneim. V'yisabal Ephraim avim yomim rabim. Ephraim was alive when his children were killed. And he mourned them yomim rabim. V'yavoyu echav v'nachamoy. To the point that all his brothers, his mishpacha, they all came to be Menachemim. Vayovei Elishtoi, Ephraim lost his family. He had to rebuild. So Vayovei Elishtoi, Vatarva Teilet Ben, Vayikrish Mei Beriah. He called his first son Beriah, Ki Beriah Hoysa Bebeisa. Because at that time that this child was born, he was in such a bad place that he called his child literally Ra. Beriah Ki Beriah Hoysa Bebeisa. And the pasuk continues out. He was able to rebuild and have another family. But the Bnei Ephraim were killed by the Anshei Hagas, Hanoilodim Ba'aretz, Ki Yardu L'Kachas Es Mikneim. So their bodies were lying in the midbar. Yecheskel sees their bodies. That's the Nevuah of the Atzamas Yevashis. Yecheskel was Mechayev those people. And the only insight that the Gemara gives to us in terms of why it is they died, Shemonu L'Keitz V'Tol, because they had a cheshbin of when the Geula was supposed to come. They did back of the envelope arithmetic, but they got it wrong. And because they got it wrong, ultimately, they were killed. So naturally, this is something that's a little bit tzarech bir. What exactly was this manu l'keitz that they made? What's going on? And the emes is, in order to understand properly the story of the Bnei Ephraim, we have to reconcile what at first glance would seem to be some significant contradictions in terms of how long was it that the Yidden were in Mitzrayim. If you look in the Brisbane Absarim, Parshas Lech Lecha, that's the first time that Hashem reveals to Avraham Avinu that his descendants, before they conquer Eretz Yisrael, and before they come, they were going to have to be slaves, they were going to be tortured. For 400 years, they're going to be slaves. And they're going to be tortured. But don't worry, Avraham. This nation that is going to start up with the Yidin, Dona Noichi, Esamachus, says Rashi, V'achrikin Yetzir B'chush Gadol, and then they're going to leave with Bizas Hayom and Bizas Mitzrayim, V'atatovi al-Bisecha B'sholoim. Eventually the Yidin will enter Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be utopia. But first, Yodoya Teda Kiger Yizarach B'Eretz Lo Elohem, V'avodim V'inu Oysam Arba Me'eshana. So Hashem told Avraham Avinu very, very clearly that the Yidin were going to have to be slaves in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Yet, you look in Parashas Boy, Perikid based Pasuk Man, at the end of the story, right before Vayhi B'Shalach Pari Asa'am, says the Pasuk, Moshe ben Yisrael, Asher Yashuv in Mitzrayim. How many years were the Yidden in Mitzrayim? Shloshim Shana, the Arba Me'a Shana. They were Mitzrayim for 430 years. So was it 400 years? Or was it 430 years? What? That injury to insult, we're familiar with Rashi and Chumash. Every little child knows this. Parashas Miketz, Hashem tells Yaakov, when Yaakov finds out that the shever b'mitzrayim, vayoymer hinei shamati, ki yei shever b'mitzrayim, redu shama, v'shivru lanu misham, v'nichiv alayma. Zok Rashi, redu shama, v'loyom alachu. Hashem didn't say v'chu. You have to be medayik what Hashem said. Remez l'masayim v'eser shonim sh'nishtavtu l'mitzrayim. It's a remez to the 200 years that the Yidin were slaves in Mitzrayim, Kaminya Redu. It's the gematria of Redu. Reish Dalet Vav is 210. That's why Hashem told Yaakov Redu. That's why Hashem didn't tell Yaakov Luchu. So it wasn't 400, like Hashem told Avram by the Brisbane Absarim. It wasn't 430, which is what the Pasuk says in the parasha of Gulas Mitzrayim, in parasha's boy. U'moishu b'nei Yisrael, Ashi Yashu v'eretz Mitzrayim. Shloishim shana v'arba mei shana. And it also, rather, what was it? 210 years. But what creates even more problems is that Chazal say, it's in many places in Chazal, that Miriam, Hanaviah, as in Moshe and Aharon's sister, was called Miriam because the day that she was born, that's when Shiva Mitzrayim started. The Vayimaru es Chayeim began when Miriam was born, and it's for that reason, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, she was called Miriam. How old was Miriam when the Yidden left Mitzrayim? She was 86 years old. Moshe was 80, Aharon was 83, and Miriam was 86. In other words, the Shiva Mitzrayim was 86 years. So what's going on? Was it 400 years? Was it 430 years? Was it 210 years? Or maybe it was only 86 years? And the emissaries, Rashi, the Ramban, Ibn Ezra, Midrashim already, all discuss this very, very obvious problem. And the Mahalach goes basically something like this. When Hashem told Avram, Yodoya Tehdi Kigei Yizaracha Be'eretz Lo Elohem, if you look carefully, He didn't tell him Kigei Yizaracha Be'eretz Mitzrayim. He told him, Kigei Yizaracha Be'eretz Lo Elohem. Mitzrayim, they're not going to be for 400 years. They're going to be for less than 400 years. Be'eretz Lo Elohem, they're going to be for 400 years. When did they become a nation so that you can look at them as if they're not in this utopian place? They're Be'eretz Lo Elohem. Mishas Leidus Yitzchak. Once Yitzchak was born, now there's a Klal Yisrael. That's when the meter starts ticking. And if you count from Leidus Yitzchak 400 years, that's exactly when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. So it's not been Mitzrayim 400 years, it's just Be'eretz Lo Elohem. When did it begin? Mishas Leidus Yitzchak. When the Pasuk says, Moshe ben Yisrael, Ashi Yashu Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Shloshim Shana, Va'arba Me'eh Shana, 430 years, what's that? That's from when Hashem was talking to Avram. And it's based on a Seder Olam. The Seder Olam says that Avram Avinu was 70 years old at the time of the Brisbane Absarim, which really is a Chiddush, because the Brisbane Absarim is in the middle of Parashas Lech Lecha. And Parashas Lech Lecha begins with the Tziva V'yem Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha. And the Pasuk says very clearly, how old was Avram Avinu by the Tziva of Lech Lecha? He was 75, which means that Avram Avinu got 5 years younger from the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha to the middle of Parshas Lech Lecha. E muktam emolcha v'atayr. It's obviously what you have to say. But what's even more challenging is that when Hashem comes to Avram and He tells him, Lech Lecha, I'm not even telling you where I'm going. Avram had been there already. Avram had been by the Bris Bein Habzarim, which took place in Eretz Canaan. Not just that, he had already been promised the land. As a matter of fact, Ramban is very bothered, beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Hashem told Avram, El Haaretz Asher Alecha, and Avram goes, takes out his GPS, punches in Eretz Canaan. Had Avram know to go to Eretz Canaan? Ramban is very bothered by it. He says different mahalchim. Lefi anal, it's miyushiv heite. Avram had been in Eretz Canaan, number one. He had already been promised the land. So he had a little hunch that this is the Eretz Asher Alecha. But the bottom line is, Avram Avinu was 70 years old by the Bris Bein Habzarim. If he was 70 years old by the Bris Bein Habzarim, how old is he when Yitzchak was born? 100. That means the Bris Bein Habzarim happened 30 years before Leidas Yitzchak. So the 400 years is Mishas Leidas Yitzchak. That's when Klal Yisrael became an Ummah. And for 400 years, they were Be'eretz Lo Lahem. And they technically were supposed to go right into Eretz Yisrael because of the Chet, the Meimaraglim. They ended up being in the Midbar for another 40 years. But that's really when it was all supposed to come to an end. The 430 years is Me'esa Besura from the Bris Bein Habzarim, which was 30 years earlier. That's 430. What's a little bit dachuk is the Pasuk says, U'moshe b'nei Yisrael ashiyashu b'mitzrayim shloshim shana v'arbim ne'yashana. It's not really true. They weren't there 430 years. So Rashi asks the Kashan Parashas Boy. Rashi says it concluded in Mitzrayim, but not that they were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. When Rashi says in Parashas Mikates, it's the Chazal, Redu, Kiminyan, 210, because the Yidden were Meshubah of Mitzrayim 210 years, that was the actual Shibud of Mitzrayim. The Shibud of Mitzrayim was 210 years. That's when Yaakov went to Mitzrayim, and for Rashi it's Mavur, that's when the Shibud started. They were Neshtabed in Mitzrayim for 210 years. When we say that when Miriam was born, that's when the Vayimoru Aschayim started. If you look very carefully in the Loshon of Hashem by the Bris Bein Habzarim, what did Hashem tell Avram? Va'avodum v'inu oisam. There were two things. There was va'avodum, avdus, shibud, v'inu oisam. Torture, Vayimoru Aschayim. There were two different gzeiros. There was a gzeira va'avodum, there was a gzeira v'inu oisam. Va'avodum, that was 210 years, that's Rashi and Parashas Miketz. Shenishtabdu l'mitzrayim kimin yuridu. The inuaisam, the vayimoru eschayeyim, that's Miriam. That's only 86. So it's kavaldik. 400, that's be'eretz leilohem, not Mitzrayim. Be'eretz leilohem, that starts from when there's an umma, that starts from Leidas Yitzchak. 430 is me'esa besura. 210, that's va'avodum in Mitzrayim itself. 86, that's the ve'inuaisam, that's from the time of vayimoru eschayeyim. But the B'nai Ephraim didn't know all this. The Bnei Ephraim had a Messiah from their father, who had a Messiah from his father, who had a Messiah from his time, Avram Avinu, that Hashem told him 400 years. And they assumed that the 400 years started from the Bris Bein Habzarim. So 30 years before the Yidden ultimately left Mitzrayim, the Bnei Ephraim got together and they said, it's already time for the Geula. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to be Ma'ir the Geula. We're going to leave. We're going to start a fight. Prison escape, and that's going to ultimately bring the Geula. Aristarchus is going to make it happen. But they were 30 years too early, because they didn't realize that the 400 years didn't start from the Bris Bein Habzarim. The 400 years started from Leidas Yitzchak. They didn't know this. This was the toys that they made. And being that they made this toys, ultimately they were killed. So you do it that the Sat Merov used to use the Bnei Ephraim as an example of how a person can't be doichik as akeitz, gets involved in the shalosh shvuos, etc., etc. And there's really two ways to look at it. On the one hand, you see the Bnei Ephraim were killed because they tried bringing the geula before it was really time to bring the geula. But then again, these were also the mesim that Yechezkel was mechaya. These were the people that ultimately were zoichik to have a tchias mesim. So it's not clear who had a worse fate, the Dor HaMidbar or the Bnei Ephraim. But we'll leave that way beyond my pay grade. But regardless, the toyus of the Bnei Ephraim was that they didn't realize it's not 400 years from the Bris Bein Habzarim. It's 400 years from Leidas Yitzchak. They go out. The Anshei Yagas find them. They kill them. That's the rest of the story of the Bnei Ephraim. Zok the Torah Chayim. You see from here that the minion of when the Yidden were supposed to leave Mitzrayim, how long they were supposed to be there, was very, very unclear. And really, you could have argued that when Hashem said, you know what it meant? You're going to be slaves in Mitzrayim for 400 years. 400 years of tzaris. Not Mishas Leidas Yitzchak. Not Mishas the Bris Bein Habzarim, which was the toys of Bnei Ephraim. So the Yidden were very paranoid. Moshe comes to you and says, let's leave Mitzrayim. They're like, 1 second. I don't want that what happened to the Bnei Ephraim should happen to me, should happen to us. They started getting worried because they thought that maybe they were leaving prematurely. Not that they didn't believe, not that they didn't have emunah and betachin that one day the Geula was going to come and they were going to go into Eretz Canaan. They were maminim and they maminim. But they also knew there was a gzeir. And the gzera was 400 years. And they made a cheshbon. They said, one second, the sheep was only 210 years so far. The ve'inu oisim has only been 86 years. Are you sure? It starts to be made as yitzchah. It's a nice teretz. It works well in Beis Medrash, but I don't know if I want to risk my life for this teretz. You're positive? But he said, yeah. But that's why every time there was a little bit of adversity, they got scared. They said, Zeistach, I told you, the Mitzrayim are coming after us. They're going to kill us. Teres Chaim says that even the Yam made that choice. We know the Yam didn't want to split. Why didn't the Yam want to split? The Yam didn't know the big picture. Bereshis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikereshis, Bishvil Atayrish Shenikereshis. The Yam was all mitlatoli in Klal Yisrael accepting the Torah. Why wouldn't it split for Klal Yisrael? Zok the Teres Chaim, the Yam also made the choice. The Yam didn't realize that you're supposed to cheshbon from Leidus Yitzchak. The Yam thought also, one second, wasn't 400 years. My accountant told me that you still have to do another 190 years or another 314 years, whatever the exact cheshbon is. But the point is, it was the choice of the Bnei Ephraim and the fate of the Bnei Ephraim that ultimately caused the Yidden to be somewhat paranoid, and they were afraid that maybe it wasn't going to play out the way it was supposed to play out. But if you look in the Svarim HaKadoshim, this Inyan, 400, 430, 210, 86. There's a lot more deep and hashtag heiligerev associated with this. And that is, Chassam Sofer, in his Teres Moshe and Parshas Bo, says a dover nifla. It says, the Pasuk says, when Moshe and Yisrael asher yashvu b'Mitzrayim, shloshim shana v'arba me'e shana. Ultimately, the inui of Mitzrayim was only 86 years. Miriam, al shem v'yemaru es chayeyem, which means that the Yidden got off the hook with 344 years. What's the pshat? How you talking? Zok Tchassam Sofer, if you do back of the envelope arithmetic, you'll see that 86 is one-fifth of 430. 86 times 5 is 430. In other words, the Yidden ultimately had to endure one-fifth of what the original Gzeira was. It was supposed to be 430 years. That's what it was supposed to be. But they got off. They were pardoned. Four-fifths of their term, they ultimately only had to serve one-fifth of it, 86. He says, what's the cheshbon? He says, the cheshbon is gevaldik. Because we know Yisrael is yesh, shish, and riba, yosias, latayr. Klal Yisrael is 600,000 yidden. And that's why 600,000 yidden left Mitzrayim, because that's the shleimus of Klal Yisrael. But how many yidden were in Mitzrayim at the time of the Shibud? 600,000 times 5. Because v'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael b'yaretz Mitzrayim. Zok t'chsam soifer, the eibishtam yirov chazdoi, made that there should be so many yidden, it should be 600,000 times 5, so that we'd be able to go through the geula achishena very, very quickly. Because 3 million yidden being begalus for 86 years is the equivalent of 600,000 yidden being in galus for 430 years. Because really, Klal Yisrael is 600,000. So 600,000 had to be there for 430. So the Eibishter made 600,000 times 5, 3 million, so that you'd be able to get it in 86 years. You'd be able to get the 430 divided by 5. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's why. He says, that's why the Eibishter made a nes of Shisha Bekeres Echad. He says, never understood that. Why did Hashem need Shisha Bekeres? What was so significant? The Chashayanu Oysa came Yifritzvi. Who cares? Why did they need Shisha Bekeres? This was all part of the big picture. Because the Eibishter wanted to bring the Geula quickly. And in order to bring the Geula quickly, this was the only way to do it. That Teres Chaim that I mentioned before. Again, it's a very, very long piece. I've never seen it quoted. It's a beautiful, I saw it quoted by the Chidah. But I've never seen it quoted by any of the Hainte Gemara Mekoymas. But it's a beautiful piece. And there's a lot of Marginisa Tovas over there. That piece over there, he goes with a similar Yisoy to the Chassam Sofer. He says that really the goal was supposed to be 430 years. But the Eibishter Meir Chazdoi, instead of it being 430, made it 86. Which means that we were pardoned four-fifths of our sentence. He says that's why you find so much symbolism by the Leil HaSeder 4. You have four kaisas of wine. He says that the Yidden was supposed to take the Karban Pesach 4 days before they actually brought the Karban Pesach. He says an unbelievable thing. He says the word kais is the gematria, kof. Vav Samach, 86. Four kaises is 4 times 86, 344. It's that 4 times 86 years that Klal Yisrael was speared, that they ultimately didn't have to go through. But then he fears Ois. He says, we know that Koloimra Kodesh Baruch Hu Vatron, Yvatron Meyoid. Eibish is not a Vat. Which means that if we were speared 86 times 4, which is 344 years, at some point, the Yidden, Klal Yisrael, are going to have to make it up. There's a chayves tashlumin that a yid has. And he says those four times 86 years were spread out amongst what we know as the four Goliaths. So we know that the yid didn't have to go through four Goliaths. The four Goliaths were those 344 years. So 86 years of Mitzrayim, but then there's 86 years of Golas Bavo, 86 years of Golas Paros Umadai, he says, maybe not Bakamus, but Be'echos, 86 years of Golas Yavon, and 86 years of Golas Eden. By the way, on the topic of the four Goliaths, Eile Masei B'nei Yisrael, Zokt Megala Mukois, speaking at highly right now, Eile Masei B'nei Yisrael is Rosh HaTevis, Eile is Edoin. Masei is Mem, is Madai. Bnei is Beis, is Bavel. Yisrael, Yud, is Yavon. Zokta Megala Mukos, it's a remes to the four Goliaths. It says, take a look at the trop. Eile is Azlogeresh, Azlogeresh, Geishnel Arois. The four Melochim that threw the Yidden out of their land, but Bnei Yisrael is Munach Revi. After the fourth, Klai Yisrael is already going to have Yeshua. Four Goliaths, Veloyoid. Where did those four Goliaths come from? It's the 4/5. It's the 430 minus 86 that Klai Yisrael has a choiv, that Klai Yisrael has to pay up. Zok, the Teres Chayim. 344 is the gematria of Shemad. He says, that's why the Pasuk says, we read this in Kriyas HaTorah, on Tisha B'av, Tisoilet Banu Muvnei Banu V'nei Shantim Ba'aretz. Hayidoysi B'chem Hayoymes HaShemayim V'Sa'aretz Ki Ovoit Toiveidun Maher. Mi'al Ha'aretz Asha'at Ha'ovim Shomas Hayardin Shomal Rishol Leisarichim Yomim Oleh Ki Hishomet Tishomedim. Zok to Teres Chaim, it bothered me. Isn't it redundant? Hayidoysi B'chem Hayoymes HaShemayim V'Sa'aretz Ki Ovoit Toiveidun Maher. You're going to get wiped out. Mi'al Ha'aretz Asha'at Ha'ovim Sa'yardin Loisarichim Yomim Oleh Ki Hishomet Tishomedim. I got it the first time. Ki avoy tovedun, ki hishomei tishomedun. Why does the Torah have to chazer over? Zok the Teres Chaim, hishomei tishomedun. Oisi shmad shin mem dalet. The reason the Torah said now shmad is l'rames that these yisurim are going to come in the form of shmad 344 years. It's 344. It's 86 times 4. These are the four Goliaths. This is a choiv that Klal Yisrael has. He says that's why by the bris pein avsarim Hashem was megala to Avram the four Goliaths. Why that? Rav Avinu have to know about it. Rashi brings in the Chumash in two places. Ein mechashecha. These are remazim to the four Goliaths. When Hashem came to Moshe by the Sna, remember what Hashem told Moshe? Vayemir al kima Moshe eker asher eker. Zok Rashi eker imam b'tzarazois asher eker imam b'shibut shar malchias. I'm going to be with Klal Yisrael now, and I'm going to be with them with the shar malchias. Amal afanam. So Moshe Rabbeinu famously says, "Dayet zara b'shaita." Why are you telling them now about the shar Goliaths? So I go to Kasha. What was Hashem thinking? What was the Hava mean? Why did Hashem feel that he wanted to share with them the four Goliaths? Zok to Teres Chaim, because really the Chayiv of Mitzrayim was going to be 430 years. Hashem had a plan of 86. But what's going to be with the other 344? The Teretz is the Dal Goliaths. Zok to Hashem to Moshe, don't worry about it. Eke, I'm going to be with them now for the first 86 years. The Eke Imam. And I'm going to be with them for the next 344 years. So I told you, I saw the Chidah. It's brought in Teres Achidam Parshas Kisisa. He quotes this Teres Chaim, and he says an unbelievable thing. Chazal say, "Ein lecha ben chayrin ela misha oisik b'teira." What's the pshat? Again, highly great. "Ein lecha ben chayrin ela misha oisik b'teira." Al pi hamavur besvarim akdoshim zok techida. That when a yid is oisik b'teira l'shma, he's zoicha to have a nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is begematria 345. Shin mem hey oisius Moshe. Shmad, the Golus that Klal Yisrael has to endure, is 344. If a person learns Torah, he's Oila on the 344 years of Golus. Because he now has Moshe, which is one more than Shmad. He's a Ben Chayrin. He's potter from the Golus. He's a Ben Chayrin. Is Eilucha Ben Chayrin Ela Misha Isaac a Torah? Because when a person learns Torah, he's Zoicha. He had the Koyach of Moshe. Or if you're Moshe, you can split the sea. You can tear down borders. You can be Oila on the four Goliaths, the 344 years, because Moshe is one more than Shmat. But we'll just end with one last thing. There's a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. We spoke this out once upon a time. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says as follows. Rabbi Yanai said, "Lo yevidu ha-mitzrim es Yisrael." You want to know how long the Yidden were slaves in Mitzrayim? Sho'achas. 1 hour. But not 1 hour of our days. It wasn't 60 minutes. It was 1 hour of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's days, which is Shmeinin V'Shalosh Shanim V'Shlishan. 83 and a third years. What's the cheshbon? Ki Elef Shanim Be'enecha kiyoy mesmo. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 1,000 years, it's time relativity. 1,000 years is like one of our days, which means a day, which is made up of 12 hours. If you take 1,000 years and you divide it by 12, what you're going to have is 83.3. Zok Rab Yanayim Pirkei de Rav Eliezer. You want to know how long the Yidden were slaves in Mitzrayim? It was 83.3 years. And what's the cheshbin? It was it was 1 hour. The Eibishter wasn't going to punish Klal Yisrael for more than a fleeting moment, but it was a fleeting of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moment. And one of Hashem's hours is 83.3 years. That's what the Yidden were slaves in Mitzrayim, 83.3 years. L'chura, Rabbi Yanai is discussing the Vayimoro Eschayim. So we have a Messiah who was 86 years. I'll show you Miriam. It's 83.3 years. But I saw in the Megadim Chadashim, in Mesechtes Brochus, Tav Zayin Amar Aleph, he brings from the Sefer Zayis Ranan, who said, Shamati Me Arizal, that the Arizal said, a Dover Niflo. He said that in 1,000 years, there are 368 Ibiyars. 368 Ibiyars in 1,000 years. If you take the 368 extra months and you divide it by 12, you're going to get 30.66 years. That means the real cheshbin of Elef Shana, Mishal HaGadosh Baruch Hu, when you ma'abir the Shana, it's really going to be 1,030.66 years. If you take Sha'achas of 1,030.66, do the back of the envelope arithmetic, divide it by 12, it's 85.9. Zok Tarizal, it's Sha'achas Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yana Yekamach Tacheshben, he came up with 83.3, but it's not our Messiah. Our Messiah, as I state in Kama V'Kama Midrashim, it was 86. I'll say Miriam. But if you do the Cheshben, it works out exactly the same way. Zematin. Because 1,000 years, you have to Cheshben the Ibiyah. And the Ibiyar adds another 368 months, which is 30.66 years, which gets us to Sha'achas being exactly kamat to the minute, 86 years, which are the years of Shibud Mitzrayim.